Welcome everyone to another episode of the podcast today. Before we get into it, please make sure you follow me on Instagram at felix.levine. Subscribe to my YouTube channel that you can find by searching my name, Felix Levine, on YouTube. Hit that subscribe button and there you'll be able to watch all episodes in full video versions as well as smaller clips and highlights from those episodes. If you are listening to this right now, please just take a quick second to go rate and review the show on Apple's podcast app. Give it a quick 5-star review and that will go a long way. And also check out my website, felix-levine.com. There you'll have every podcast in video version, audio version, photos from every recording, and contact information if you want to get in touch with me. So go check that out. And my guest today, he is a UFC fighter making his comeback fight on February 6th. I am super excited to have him on for a second time. Please welcome my brother, Julio Arce. And we're live. Julio Arce part two. Man, I'm so, honestly, I'm just happy to see you. I haven't seen you in a while. The world has changed since I last saw you.
Dude, it's been forever.
But honestly, I'm just happy to see you and happy to have you back on my show. A lot of people had reached out actually when the first time you came on, they had told me that they enjoyed your appearance. And then, of course, you have a fight coming up. So want to promote you and make sure that the people know as much as they can about you before they see you back in the octagon on February 6th. So I told you a few seconds ago, I don't know if maybe you remember from last time, there's a little tidbit, a little story, a little something the world doesn't know about Julio Arce.
You know, I can tell everybody that as much as I work out and train, I am a fat boy at heart.
What's that mean?
Meaning that if I wasn't training, I would probably be giant. I'd be thick.
You'd be thick.
Thick.
So for people who don't remember from the first episode, he was a fat boy. you were. You were telling us a few seconds ago, you were pushing 200 plus and you're not a super tall guy.
Yeah, man. 5'7", close to 200 pounds. Damn, I feel like I was creating my own orbit.
So I want to talk about this because I don't think I remember from last time, or I don't know if you talked about it from last time, but what was the age where you hit like the peak fatness?
Dude, I think it was when I was from 12 going to 13, like around there. And that's where I started training too.
And you were, but you, was it like fat, like rolls, like your
like rolls, like man boobs, like dude.
You have pictures?
I have a picture in my phone. I mean, I can show you after.
Okay, show me after.
But it's funny. But luckily, during that time, that's when like Fat Farm and Rockaway and all the baggy clothes was around. So,
oh yeah.
So I would go. I would have like the baggy jeans, the baggy shirts. Nobody needed to know. I'd be like, yeah.
Are you ever scared like post fighting career? You could, because you're a fat boy at heart, you could blow up a little bit again.
You know, I think now just through everything like. Part of me would be like, yo, I'd probably like blow up. But, you know, I think just training has become like my drug, like my addiction. Yeah. So like, it's like, I can't live without it. It's like, I have to train or else. A friend of mine once put it this way. It's like, if I don't train, it's like, I don't feel like a man. And I'm like, yo, true. It's like, I need to train. If not, I just don't feel like I got anything done. I don't feel like a man right now.
Have you always felt that way?
Yeah, you know, like, but when I talked to my friend, yeah, his name is Brad Desir, and he was
another fighter. We follow each other on the gram.
Yeah, and you know, he's like, yeah, it's like sometimes you just need to train because I just don't feel like a man. I feel like I got nothing done. And I'm like, that's a perfect way to put it.
He's a funny guy, too.
Yeah, dude, he's fucking hilarious, man.
Where's he? He's fighting. He's in a new promotion, right?
Yes, it's I think.
He used to fight in Bellator.
Yeah. And he's going to be fighting soon, and he's making his comeback fight. So I can't wait till he comes back. So, yo, Brad, if you hear this, man, shout out to you, my man. Because he had, like, a knee surgery, and he was out. And, like, he went to the VA to get surgery, and that whole thing got all messed up. It got infected and whatnot. So it, like, put him back even more. And, you know, also he's a father now.
Right, I saw that.
So I mean, he's accomplished that a lot. He has, you know, his own academy now. It's called the Ronin Ludas. So, you know, I'm super happy for him because it's like everything's falling back in place for him. And, you know, like even my teammate Mike Trezano, he's set to fight again on February 20th.
Oh.
And he had a layoff because he had to get knee surgery.
That's another UFC fighter.
Yeah, and so it's like, you know, these injuries put people to the side, and it's like, it makes you just feel like, God damn, time's going by. I'm sitting here like injured. It's like you're trying to like heal up as fast as you can. But, you know, and I was kind of on the same boat because for me it was, I had to get double elbow surgery.
I haven't seen you since. So explain, because I don't even know the full extent of your surgery.
So this is one of my elbows.
People, turn that a little bit. That's a big ass scar.
Is this one?
Is that, so it's one, two, three.
Three here.
And that's just from one surgery?
That's from one surgery. And then literally the week of, the other week I got the second one.
So it was the same, what happened?
So what was happening is, this is something that I put off for years. Okay. Even when I started fighting in the UFC.
Okay.
My body, I guess my elbow started, like bone chips kept getting just jammed in there. And then cartilage started building up. So my arm went from full extension and they were stuck here. So think about it this way. I was like a dinosaur, a T-Rex. So like freaking my arms were like this and I couldn't extend.
Right.
So then, you know, me just not wanting to sit on the shelf and be like, God damn, I don't want to get this and be out and, you know, fights are going on. But it got to the point where I'm like, this is actually going to jeopardize me more because it's like, as I'm training, as I'm fighting, it's like I can't extend, so I'm compensating the use of my body more, which is putting me in more danger to get hit. And it's it wasn't really helping a lot by me trying to, you know, keep this from prolonging the surgery. So it's like, all right, let's get it done.
When was the first time you realized that was a problem?
This was during my second UFC fight.
That's a little while back.
Yeah, so it's like, and I was like, I was like, fuck it. Let's just keep going.
So when you say like an extension, like if you're throwing like a left?
Or a left or a straight, you know, or like a jab, it would be instead of here, it would be here. So I'm like.
You couldn't, or it would just hurt when you did it?
I couldn't lock it out.
Oh, you couldn't lock it
out. Like before it was hurting and I was just kind of working through it. And then next thing you know, I'm like, okay, is this as far as I go? I was like, that's not good.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, fighters being as stubborn as they are and as tough as they are, they have like a mentality of like, fuck it, if I can use my arms, I'm good to go. But then it gets to a point where it's like, nah, you know what? As we're getting older, you know, we want to have longevity.
Right.
And, you know, we got to take care of ourselves.
Yeah.
Right? So I was like, yeah, let's get this done. And of course, when I got it done,
it's COVID.
COVID hit, yeah.
Well, it's kind of good timing.
Yeah, so for me, it was a little bit of it was a blessing in disguise,
because
it gave me time to heal, and I had my PTs and a team helping me doing the recovery. So I have this company, Edge Pro PT. I give a shout out to my man Brian and the whole PT crew over there, Edge Pro, for helping me take care of this, and also this other person, Frank Benedetto, he has this thing called Counter-Strike, which he does my strength and conditioning. So they work together and they help me with movements to recovery. So then it's like, even before the surgery, they gave me stuff to do. So then it's like, I would be able to recover a little bit faster. And then even after, like, they were working with me, checking up on me, making sure that my full range was going. And then next thing you know, I was like, they're like, okay, you're good to now start training again. Light contact on the pads. Let's see how you feel. And I'll tell you what, when I, you know, during COVID, like, I couldn't really, like, hit anything. I couldn't do any push-ups. It's like I had to reteach myself, like, the use of my arms in a way.
How long were you just straight resting? So you got both at the same time?
I got, one like a week apart.
That's not fun, man. You might as well just go on the same at the same time.
You know what, though? At first, I was like, let me just get them both done. But they're like, yeah, you're going to have trouble like even being able to wipe your ass. I can't have that.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
So I was like, okay, you know, let's do this one. And the first one went really smooth.
Went left first?
I went right first. And then I got the second one. The second one, there was like a lot more taken out. And I had to be in the hospital for 4 days straight because like it was just like that. Like they attached like this little container and like whatever fluid was in there was draining out. It's like a drain. And they just kept filling up and it was like it just wouldn't stop. So like, yeah, we have to keep you here because you're still like seems to be draining a lot. And just like sitting in that like that bed and the fact that I'm like, God damn, bro. It's like this just feels like so wrong. It's like I'm like, I need to get out of here. But in a way it was great because it, you know, you sit in there and you're like, you know what, man? It's like you get time to just like just be in your own mind and be like, okay, it's like you got this done. And like the hardest part was kind of setting it up and be like going through with it.
Right.
Now it's like, okay, you're done with it. It's like, that's the first step. So let's now focus on your recovery and what it's like. Like, it's not going to be fun, but you know, any fighter that's gone through this, like whether it's knee surgery, shoulder surgery, whatever it is, you know, it kind of hits them hard because like, damn, bro, I got to be on the shelf for X amount of time. And I feel like the world's just moving on without me.
Right, right.
And you just feel like everyone's coming up here and you're just like, fuck, I feel like I'm left behind. But, you know, in reality, it gave me a chance to work on other things, other aspects of my life, whether it's like, you know, mentally, whatever it was, to be like, yo, let's just boost this up while you can't do much. And then when you come back, then everything else is going to come back too. So, you know, with my team, my coaches, everybody, they're so like super supportive, you know, always checking up on me. And, you know, it's like they would just be like, yo, just it's almost time. Just heal up. It's like, just be smart about it. Like, don't be stupid. And so I also chose during that time, I'm like, you know what? Use this time to recover. Let me go back down to 35. Don't just go right back into fighting right away. As much as I wanted to, I was like, you know what? It's like this thing's still healing up. I still got things to work on. I still got to make sure my elbows recover correctly. Let me take the whole year off. Let me plan this out right. And, you know, that's what me and the team did. And then we're like, yo, let's go from here now.
Does that ever get a little bit like, for lack of a better word, like depressing or like when you're on the sideline and you're also hurting?
Yeah.
I can't imagine you feel great. Elbows are not a fun spot. Like, did you ever have any, you know, doubts like, man, am I going to be able to come back? Am I going to be okay? Cuz that could get a little scary.
You know what? It those things cross your mind and I think everyone just handles it differently. Yeah. For me at one point, I think the fact of not being able to train and just kind of sitting on the sideline and watching everybody, that was more depressing to me.
Right.
And it kind of hit me because I'm like, damn, everyone's looking so good. Everyone's freaking crushing it. And I'm here like jogging, doing like these little exercises, even though they were great because they were helping me recover and build my range of motion back and all that. Like in my mind, I'm like, shit, man, it's like I'm left behind right now. Like, I feel like I'm falling behind. But that's like your mind kind of, you feel like it's like your mind kind of putting like a trick on you. And she's like, okay, like, what are you going to do about it?
Right.
So for me, it was a little depressing and motivating. I think the depressing part was just being stuck home for such a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Because when COVID hit, you know, our schools got shut down. Everything was put just like on hold.
Right.
So then it's like, you know, the school is where I teach. That's, you know, it's like where, you know, like I make my living.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, that's shut down. Next thing you know, I can't fight. And I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
So luckily it's like, you know, everyone just had a plan to be able to keep going. And then I was just stuck home and I was just like, fuck, man. It's like,
when did you get cleared?
I got cleared in August. Yeah, August of last year. And
so August 2020.
Yeah.
Okay. So it was really you were healing up during COVID.
Yeah. So okay. COVID, like I said, that was the blessing in disguise. And
so when was your surgery? So your surgery was when, you said?
November of 2019.
So it was right after the MSG fight.
Yeah.
And was that in part, was that fight also a big part of getting the surgery?
Yeah. And it also,
It got worse during the fight?
It got worse during the fight. And it's also, I'm like, that's where it also made my decision. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to have to make some changes here. Like, I'm going to have to, it's like, let me get this done. Let me stop prolonging it because it's doing more harm than good during my training. Like, it's causing me to make stupid mistakes that I normally don't do because I'm trying to compensate somewhere else because I can't use my reach well. And then I'm like, you know, it made me decide to make the drop to 35 because then I'm fighting these guys that are just freaking giant. And you could clearly tell, like, and all my fights at 45, that I'm the smaller guy.
Right.
Like, I'm holding my own in there, but these guys are huge.
Right.
And then it's like, dude, I'm fighting like a fucking 6'1" dude. But you know, it was a time to make decisions, a time to like plan everything out. So then, you know, when it was time to come back, it's like, all right, we got a plan set and we go.
And so I haven't seen you since that last MSG. So that was 2019. And that was a tough one because, I mean, I'm biased and I'm obviously like standing up. I honestly, unbiasedly, thought you won that fight. And then I think with bias, of course, I'm like, yeah, of course you won the fucking fight. But I think obviously it was a close fight. But it was pretty clear, like skill for skill, that's why when you told me or when I saw that you were dropping down back to 35, I feel like it's the no brainer move, right? Because you got probably more skills than the 45ers, but they're bigger.
Dude, it's like, you know, I can, like I said, you know, I was able, I'm holding my own in there, and it's not like I'm freaking getting my ass kicked,
right?
But these guys are so they're literally physically bigger than me. They're huge. So
you
it's like
you cut no weight together.
I'm cutting no weight. These guys are cutting down from 170. God knows, 170 maybe, like some people 180.
What do you walk around at usually?
Now I'm walking around like 155.
Oh, okay, so the cut's not even that bad.
Yeah, dude. Like once I'm training, it's like I'm on weight. So it's like before when I was in when I was fighting like the regional circuit, like Ring of Combat, CFFC. You know, like this is before like I had like the nutrition and all that. Like, you know, I would cut down weight, but I also feel like part of it was kind of, I feel like it would be kind of winging it. So then now it wouldn't feel as healthy as I got first, like, this is what you're going to eat. This is what you're going to drink. This is what the times that you eat. These are like, you have to eat this time, blah, blah. And they're like, and it's like, all right, boom, I'm on it. Like, you gave me like a regimen to follow, like, I'm going to do it. And it's going to be, it's like, it's very plain and simple. And, you know, you got to give shout out to Eric Pena because he's the one who's been doing my nutrition, him and Frank, who I mentioned before. And they work together. So it's like, you know, they make sure I'm getting the right amount of, you know, proteins and all that stuff in. So, you know, then it doesn't feel like I'm like, oh, I'm starving myself. Like I'm doing this healthily. And like when I make the cut, I feel like it's going to be easy.
So for people listening, we're recording, I believe we're the 17th of January. Your fight's February 6th. This will come out, I believe, fight week. Of course, to get in time for your fight, what are you at right now?
Right now, I'm at like 150.
Oh, wow, so that's not that bad.
No, not at all.
So you're really gonna? I mean, if you do, so what is your ideal like on fight week, the Monday of fight week? What do you like to come in at if you're fighting at 35?
Probably, I want to be probably like fight week be like 147, 148. Oh, yeah. And then you know just
basically there.
Yeah, like then just cut whatever water is there and. So it's been so much easier.
Really?
Yeah. Like I say, you know, like I have, you know, during that time, it's you get the right team and you get the right people and, you know, all my coaches working together and they're like, yo, let's freaking do it. It's like, and when it's time to come back, you're going to be ready for this.
Do you get to eat a little, like, is it good when you get to eat?
You know what? My meals are actually great. Like I'm eating regularly. It's just that, like, it's now just the timing of it is different. But, dude, I'm having, you know, like steak, salmon, like, you know, like, right, nice. Yeah, like, I'm eating good meals, man. And I have and I actually recently have been working with this company. It's called Ready Strong Meals. Okay. They're actually in Hoboken, and they're like a small business. So it's like, dude, we'll work with you. Yeah. You know, we'll send you meals. And it's also simpler because since I'm always on the go,
right.
It's like, I don't have time to sometimes just sit there and be like, I gotta cook this, that. Yeah. So like, yo, we'll send you this. So they'll send me like steak with like some sweet potatoes, some like meatballs with like some broccoli. Like, they have like all delicious meals, man. And it's, so they've been a huge help to this. So, you know, it was all good planning. It's all gonna work out. And I can't wait, man. I'm excited where it's gonna take it.
I'm excited. But I also had a really quick question going back to some of the surgeries and stuff. In terms of, cause I don't even know how it works. When a UFC fighter gets surgeries, who covers that? Do you have insurance through the UFC?
Yeah, the UFC covers
it. And it covers everything.
They cover everything, wow, which thank is God. Yeah, which is I'm pretty grateful for that because like, you know, in reality it's like
I get
you,
pricey.
Yeah, you know, especially because it was I went to HSS,
okay,
in the city, and they're like really really like they're great surgeons over there,
right.
So you know like if I had to pay that like out of land on my own pocket, god damn, bro. Yeah. They're like shit, but yeah. You know, like they covered everything, and it's and I'm super thankful for them for that.
And Pete and the PT after, how's that work?
They covered that too. Wow. And I went to Edge Pro, which is in Paramus, New Jersey, and they've been working with me ever since.
Wow.
And I'm still going every day just to make sure everything is okay, and doing my exercises to make sure my elbows just stay strong.
So now you're 100%.
Yep.
Wow. Does it feel weird to be able to like hit that crisp and full extension on the jab and stuff like that?
You know what? And honestly, when I first started coming back to being able to have contact, it's like I was nervous about it because it's like I'm like, oh, it's like I don't want to, like I feel like
right.
It's like you have like that second thought. It's like I'm just coming back. Am I really going to be able to stand? Do I want to re-injure it again? Yeah. Like all these little things start like popping up in your head. You're like, and I'm like, oh, I can finally do this.
And there's no pain. But it must feel weird, right?
It felt weird at first because my body hadn't done it in a while. So yeah.
When was the last time you had thrown a full like extension on a jab or a punch?
Before that, damn, it was like two years. So it's like, and it just gradually just started getting worse. And now it's like, I'm like, I went from like here to here to here. I'm like, oh, that's not good.
Wow. And so when did you start for the training camp for this fight?
For this fight, you know, like I was training even before that. Cause once they were like, yo, you can do contact wrestle and all that. Like I was training hard before that. Right. I was just waiting for them to just announce a fight and be like, yo, we got somebody for you.
And you changed, were you always with Paradigm?
I started with Paradigm also during the 2020. And, you know, dude, they've been super helpful, amazing team. So, you know, just I switched to Paradigm and it's been great. And
what was behind that decision? Who do you have a particular agent, or how does that work? The whole agency represents you?
The whole agency, the whole team. So you know, it was just like a matter of for me it was like one person was trying to take care of everything.
Right.
So then I was like, okay, you know, let me move on to like somebody to instead of one person trying to do everything, it's like let me go to a team that has different people so then things don't fall through the cracks, things don't get overwhelming. So I decided to make the switch to Paradigm. Like no hard feelings on the switch. It was understood. And then, you know, I've just been with them and they've been working with me even like as they knew that like, look, when do you want to expect to come back to fight? And I'm like, you know, like, I don't want to go right into the new year, but let me do it in, you know, like February at least, see what they got. And then next thing you know, they're like, yo, February 6th, we got somebody for you. And I'm like, let's freaking do it. Let's rock and roll.
So wait, I'm curious. So for people out there that are like kind of casual sports fans, what exactly in your case does a sports agency do in terms of representing you?
So they, you know, look for the fights, like your opponents, making sure like the contract negotiations for it go well, you know, sponsorships, opportunities, people that want to work with you. and, you know, how to like really just build you as a fighter. So, you know, and you have like representation. So you go from like, you know, certain sponsors, paid sponsorships and so on. But also like they're dealing with like the things that as a fighter, you're not going to have to deal with. Like, look, when we're going the regional circuit, like we're in charge of our ticket sales. We're in charge of like promoting our own fight in a way. So it's like you got to make sure you're getting ticket money from everybody. Well, even though now like for the UFC, you don't have to do any ticket sales or anything.
Did you have to do that before for UFC?
No.
Okay.
Thank God. Yeah. Man. Imagine that shit. But it's like they're dealing with like the little things like, you know, the flights, the hotel, the accommodations, all that stuff, like all the things that behind the scene to take all that stress off your shoulders. We have to be like, all right, I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do this. So they've been super helpful with that. And it's just been a lot easier. And then it's like, we just want you to focus on just training, getting ready for your fight. The only thing I'll really have to do is like my medicals and that's it.
And Paradigm, I mean, Paradigm is probably that and First Round are the two biggest. Right? I mean, what's Connor, Izzy? Who else?
Connor, Izzy, Cyborg. You got Leon Edwards. Who's the guy that just fought?
The Leech.
The Leech just fought. Who to represent him?
Did you watch that card yesterday?
Dude, it was wild.
I mean, come on, Holloway.
Dude, Holloway was on some next level shit.
Man. I thought that was honestly the single greatest performance in UFC history.
Dude, it was wild. It's like there was no denying him. He's like, and the fact that people were saying that he was gonna lose.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was like, nah, man. The fact that he's talking
to DC. He's talking to DC and Anna.
And he was like, whoop, 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 whoop. I'm like, Jesus, man, that was wild.
That was unbelievable. I mean, he just looked like unstoppable. He looked like the best featherweight in the world.
Dude. Like, that got me even more fired up to really? Come back and fight. Yeah, it was like,
damn. What's that like when you're watching it and you're watching it on the couch and you're just like relaxing, watching little fights, and you see that kind of shit?
Dude, it gets you hyped. You know what got me to be like, dude, I got to get back into training as fast as I can. This is a fight because I fought Dan Ige like a while back. You know, he's my first fight in the UFC. Right. And the fact that he was in a main event against Cater. And I was like, damn, bro, it's like, that should be fucking me up there. It's like, that should be me. I mean, even though I'm dropping 35 now, but I'm just like, dude, I can't keep sitting here. I gotta get back to training. I gotta get back to freaking doing what I was always doing. Get back to the basics, the roots, no distractions, no nothing. Like, just focus on what you want. And I'm like,
and I think also what's even more impressive with you too is like, you look at your record, you got the two losses to Kelleher.
Mm-hmm.
And then two splits, which easily could have gone your way, right? Yeah. So it's like, you really haven't dropped many rounds in the UFC, you know, and then, well, you got injured, so, you know, out for a little. But, like, you're young, you feel good, now you're, you know.
Yeah, man.
I mean, the sky, I truly believe, I mean, obviously, I'm always rooting for you on another level, but, like, I truly think the sky is the limit. No?
Yeah, man, it's like, now coming back, even my coach, Tiger, he was talking, he's like, dude, I'm happy that you're back. Fine, you're going to drop 35. It's like, let's like, just get your mind up, man. Get yourself just focused and just, it's like, I'm glad to see like the hunger and the fire back in you. I'm like, you know, like, yeah, it's like this time off and after the surgery, like during the surgery, after the surgery and just the healing up, it's like, it kind of reignites the fire.
Right.
You know, like some people have been fine for a while. Sometimes it starts to get like in a way, I wouldn't say it gets boring, but it gets like, repetitive.
Yeah.
And during that time off, it like reignites your fire. You're like, it's like, yo, I beat that dude. Mm-hmm. It's like, fuck, man, I gotta get back in there, man. It's like, let's do it, man. Let's freaking do it. So it got me, it reignited like the whole my fire behind it. It made me just want to fight more. It made me want more because it was taken away from me.
Right.
So.
And do you do any other kind of, I mean, I know some people have like sports psychologists and stuff like that. Do you have a sports psychologist or anyone you talk to about that?
I talked to, his name is Greg, and I'm not sure I'm going to butcher his last name. Greg Shadok. Greg, don't come at me for this, man. But I've been talking to him. I knew I was going to get surgery, I actually started talking to him because, you know, I wanted to, you know, maybe it's like, in a way, it's kind of like a unlock something that maybe in my mind is like holding me back or that I can do better. You know, I was also like, I was pretty nervous about surgeries because this was my first major surgery. So, you know, like I was nervous about that. Then, of course, it's like, damn, you know, I'm going to get surgery. I'm going to be on the shelf. You know, I'm going to be feeling like this. And, you know, just talking to him and just really just looking at different perspectives. And, dude, he was a great help during this.
What are some of those, I mean, you know, without telling everything, obviously, but like, what are some of those conversations like? Like, what did you feel like you were exactly like trying to unlock, if you will, or get past or over, or, you know, if it was a fear, I mean.
You know, that's, I guess everybody's different. Part of me was just like, even like something simple. It's like, look, when you go fight, it's like, why are you waiting so long to get yourself started? Is there something that like in the fight, there's something that you might be afraid of? You know, is there something that, you know, you're just not letting out because it's like, because for whatever reason, and just really seeing, you know, trying to like, it's kind of like you're opening a door to see, it's like, okay, in this time during my life, it's like, what is it that held me back? Yeah. What is it that I could have done better? Okay, why did this happen? Or like, if a situation that was happening, like even like during surgery, why was I feeling this way? Mm-hmm. My decision to go to 35, and just like hitting every aspect of it, because, you know, we don't realize, man, it's like, at first, when I was like, man, should I even talk to somebody? You're like, man, I feel like it was. It's like you have like that kind of mindset. It's like, I don't need to talk to anybody. But then you realize it's like, wow, man, like he was really he's super helpful about it.
Right.
And it changed a lot of perspectives, even like in the way I train. It's like, you know, there was points in my training where I was set in my ways.
Okay.
So meaning it's like, I was like, nah, you know, like this is the way it's done. Like that's the way it's done. But now it's like, all right, you know, like let me add that to what I'm doing. Mm. Like you start kind of
maturing.
Yeah, you start maturing. You start like turning into like a, you know, like when little kids, like they're sponges. So they absorb all the knowledge that you give them. And it's like, I went back to that. I went back to, you know, people say like empty your cup. I'm like, no, I drank my cup. I want a refill. And I want that refill with new stuff to mm-hmm. implement. And I just kept doing that. I just kept drinking my cup of water each time and just kept absorbing more knowledge. And it's been great. It's like, I'll take everything. It's like somebody gives me like a, like an advice of something, you know, people tend to kind of look at it as like, ah, whatever. Yeah. I was like, all right, you know, like maybe that's a detail that I knew. Maybe I forgot about it. I'm like, thanks for that. It's like, thank you for that. Like if they notice something, like if my teammates, I was like, dude, you're doing this with your hand. I'm like, thanks, man. It's like, I thought I was doing it, but maybe I wasn't. But it's like, thank you. So it's like more, like a more open-minded to just like, even like coaching and just like, sometimes, you know, we feel like we're set in our ways.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, and then you feel like you're stuck, but you're not willing to make that change. I was like, nah, man, let's add this and that. Let's add this and that. My coach is like, we're going to do this more with you so you can improve on that. Everything else is going to keep getting better as you go, but let's focus on this. Let's focus on that. And I was just like, all right, let's do it.
And I think that's, man, I think it's also powerful, I mean, regularly in life as well, but even from what you were saying earlier about, so Greg is a sports psychologist.
Yeah.
Or he's a regular, I mean, whatever.
He's a sports psychologist.
So I think what's interesting about that is like what you're talking about, like, you know, sometimes with therapy or psychology or whatever it is, like some people feel like it's a weakness or like it's for the weak, right? But, and I felt like that for a long time as well. And I started seeing a therapist, and what you're talking about like resonates crazy with me because it's that exact feeling. It's almost, I guess, you know, for people out there listening that might be in that same situation, mm-hmm. you feel like it's empowering, I think, after the fact. And you realize how much growth you're really going through.
Yeah.
Like, that's real growth, in my opinion.
Yeah. it's wild because, you know, like you, like we were saying, it's, you feel like, oh man, it's like I feel weak by having to talk to somebody right. about how I'm feeling and stuff like that. But I think
it's a sign of strength.
Yeah, but and once you do it, you know, it changes. It, like you start to, your mind starts to just evolve, and then you, instead of seeing things a certain way, that like a way you used to normally seeing it, right. it's like you have a different perspective. Like, you know, we were talking about something one day, and he's like, you know what? There's this famous like tennis player. I don't know the guy's name. It's like some long name, but it's like, you know, he was practicing and he messed up in something. And normally people will like mess up. They're like, oh fuck, whatever, blah. They're throwing a hissy fit. They just get upset by it. And he just like stood there and like questioned it. And he's like trying to dissect the problem and like try to change. He's like took like a different avenue and how to solve it, and, like how to make it better, instead of like getting frustrated and upset by it.
Right.
And I'm like that makes sense. He was telling me like a story here, like another one. It was like this guy's like running from a tiger. And like the tiger's chasing him, and then there's like a cliff, and you know there's like a vine going down the cliff. So he starts climbing down the vine, and as he's getting to the bottom, there's like another tiger at the bottom. And then, you know, if he would climb up, there's a tiger waiting for him at the top. And then like these little mice start trying to like gnaw at the vine. And then he saw like a strawberry, like a juicy strawberry there. And when he had the strawberry, he like grabbed the strawberry and like took a bite out of it, and it was like, that is, you know, like despite all the chaos that was happening around him, is like that's what kind of gave him like it's like the simple things like that right. gave him joy. Right, it was like, I mean, I probably butchered the story in many ways, but it was like, you know, just like enjoying the moment in life, right. like you appreciate kind of like what you have. I'm like, yeah, it freaking makes sense, man. Like that's wild. And you know, I thought that like at first when I was gonna talk to him, it was gonna be like, it's like you're like pouring out your emotion and everything. And it was just like he's giving me just like things here and there. He's like, look, think about this. Like, read this article, man. Like, tell me what you think. And then you're like, oh shit, man. It's like there's a lot of powerful stuff. And it's like you feel good. You're like, yeah. Damn, man. It's like, so with the way you look at things now, it's different.
And I feel like also as an athlete, right, you guys focus so much on all the physical. I mean, you got, especially you when you're recovering, you got your PT, then you got your training and all that. But like the psychological part is, you know, arguably the most important.
Mm.
No?
Yeah, dude, it plays a huge part. I mean, think about it this way. Like I remember I was hearing Donald Cerrone talking, and he's like, the most nerve-wracking part for me was when I make the walk to the cage. Right. And because it's like you're thinking about, did you do everything you had to do for this fight?
Right.
Did you take any shortcuts? Where it's like, were you really putting 100%? Like, and that's like where you're making the most, like, damn, did I really do everything? It's like I left no stone unturned. And, you know, and once you go in there, you're like, yo, I did everything I had to. Let's freaking go. Despite result, like, let's let it go and go for it.
Do you feel like this walk to the octagon is going to be a little bit different just because of the layoff and the world has changed since you're, I mean, and it's not in a packed MSG, you know, it's in a fanless Apex. It's at the Apex, right?
Yeah. You know, like I'm guessing for me, it's the excitement of coming back,
yeah.
starting a new chapter, going back to 35. And I mean, look, I did Contender Series, and yeah. it was like a very small fight. I was like in the gym pretty much, so I'm like, all right, I'm used to that.
I think it was the same gym, no? It might have been in a different room.
Yeah, that was in the Ultimate Fighter gym. Right. Like, this one's at the Apex Center. So, like, I'm fine with it, and I'm, what fans or not, it's like, I'm okay with it. I just can't wait to just come back and start fighting again.
Dude, I can even feel your energy. It's, I feel like you're also like quite focused is, you know, I mean, I haven't seen you in a while, but yeah. like I could feel you like, you know, you're excited to get back in there, but you're also, you got your head on straight. And I think that makes you an even more dangerous fighter.
Yeah, man. Dude, it's like, I said that, you know, in my fire was so reignited during this whole thing, during healing my elbows, and you know, like talking to Greg, it just changed everything for me, and it's just like just made me hungrier for it. So it's like when I first started finding the seed that I was hungry for it, like it's not close to where I am now.
Wow.
So it's like it makes me want it more, because that's just become my focus, my desire, my ambition to just like, I want to fight. I want to get in there and lay it all on the line. It's like, let's use this time to really work on things. So when you come back, people see who you truly really are as a fighter.
Right.
Right. And you know, you have no nonsense in the background. It's like, it's just a focused Julio Arce in there.
And for you, I mean, also, when you're fighting, and like for you right now, do you feel like you're at peak performance in your career, physically as well?
Yeah, man. The time off was great, because it just had it. I got to work on a lot of things, not just the mental aspects, like, you know, the strength and conditioning, technique wise, skill wise. Like, and like I was saying before, you know, I used this time to really absorb every bit of knowledge.
Mm.
And when I came back, it was funny, because the first day I came back to doing contact, I went right into sparring.
Really?
Yeah, and I did like 7 sparring rounds in a row.
5-minute rounds?
5-minute rounds. Jesus. And these were my teammates who were getting ready for fights. And I was just like, dude, I felt so free. I'm like, yes, man. Like, and of course, you know, like, look, it was me coming back. When I came back in there, I'm like, I know I'm going to gas out.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, these guys have been training. They're in shape. But I was like, it's like experience took over, like the knowledge aspect of it, like my IQ. So like, I felt like even though I physically, like my body was getting tired through the rounds, I was like, nah, man, let your experience take over. And then I just felt like, dude, I felt like for seven 5-minute rounds straight. And my team was like, what the fuck, man? Yeah. I'm like, experience took over.
But I think it's also like, and I think that's one of the, I mean, I haven't done martial arts really, but like even in the couple of times that I've done it, you can see like the other guys in the gym, like the, you know, I had Lyman held pads for me for a couple sessions, but you could see like that level of like calmness, because martial arts is such about like wisdom and respect and like, you know, I could imagine for you who's been doing it for so long at this point, you know, when the physical isn't 100%, like, you know the game in and out. And I feel like that's also probably a good feeling as well, no?
Oh, it's actually amazing, because, you know, look, at once, so kind of going back to, you know, I did the surgery and, you know, I couldn't fight. And of course, our schools got shut down where everything was just put to a halt. And we had to figure out a way to keep on teaching. So we started we did Twitch, which was, you know, still, I'm like, how did we do Twitch? It's insane. And everyone's like commenting. I'm like, you guys ready? Yep. And I was literally like going nonstop. And it was like all the schools like partook in it just so people could keep training.
So you guys when did you guys close the school? Like right when everything kind of shut down?
When COVID, the so moment like they were
March
like,
March 15th.
Yeah. Type. The moment they said, it's like, yo, we're going to shut down everything. We were like, couldn't hold classes.
Was that panicking for you?
It was, because
that's scary. That's a big part of your income, and
it's you know, it's my livelihood, and it's the school that I want to have, you know, when I'm done fighting.
Right.
It's like, so imagine if that was to just disappear because of this happening. So, you know, the great thing about it is like my coaches, my mentors, that they were all like, yo, we plan out, let's do it through Twitch. Okay, let's do Zoom now. And then like, I was like, all right, we're allowed to start having people in the, you know, in the gym again, very limited capacity.
Right.
So then it was like, all right, so now we're going to have Zoom and training at the same time. So it's like, we would have like the TV, like it's right here, and like the mat all set up. So people who, you know, still not comfortable with it, they train through Zoom. And the people who are comfortable coming in, you know, they're all stay socially distanced. They have their mask on training, and they just go, because you don't realize that when people don't train, it you know, like for me, like I felt depressed when I couldn't train.
Yeah.
And to a lot of people, maybe it's their only outlet, the only way that they feel good, and you take that away from them. But yet they had like liquor stores open, yeah. And it's like, okay, it's like I want you to be able to do what you enjoy doing, what kept you in shape. So, you know, look, we adapted, and then we've been going ever since. And nobody has given us any issue. We make sure we do all the proper protocol, but that was a chance to, you know, focus also on making sure that, you know, the school didn't end up shutting down because they shut us down. And now we keep it going because, you know, as martial artists, we can't give up when things get tough.
Yeah.
So.
No, I mean, it's pretty amazing. And also, I mean, for you going to a camp also, which I'm curious about during COVID, because martial arts is literally so contact, mm-hmm. It's literally all contact. Has that affected your training in any way?
You know, and in a way, it's nerve-wracking because, like, seriously, with this virus, like, it's like that we can be fine and somehow still have it.
Yeah.
And whatever, it is what it is. And, but all my teammates, even the coaches, like, we all were, you know, like, if we want to be able to train and keep doing what we're doing, be able to fight, especially since the UFC kept going with it, which is amazing what they did, then it's like we all have to make sure we're all watching each other. So it's like, in a way, like the entire team, they were like, yo, we got to all make sure that we are with the same people. Everyone's clear. You know, we're getting tested on a regular basis.
Really? You guys have testing at the gym?
Yeah, we had somebody, you know, doing the swab test, the blood test, everything. So then at least if somebody was like, yo, you have it, it's like, all right.
Yeah.
We know we could trace it back and we'll get our test. Like, so we were super diligent about that. And, you know, everyone's been able to train.
Wow. It's unbelievable.
So, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Knock on wood. It's like, you know, we've all been healthy. Everyone's good. And we're able to keep this going. But, you know, like martial artists, that's the whole point. You know, you don't quit. You find a way. You find a way to win at this.
Right.
And just like our schools found a way to win at this and keep going. As fighters, we found a way to win at this and keep going. And it's just going about it right.
And now we're just going to take a quick break to talk to you about my longtime sponsor in U.S. Wellness Meats. U.S. Wellness Meats has over 400 all-natural whole foods in their online store at uswellnessmeats.com. All of their beef, lamb, bison, and dairy products are 100% grass-fed and grass-finished. They also offer pasture-raised heritage pork, free-range poultry, and wild-caught seafood. They specialize in every single diet under the sun and have hundreds of paleo, keto, Whole30, sugar-free, and AIP-friendly options. All of their foods are raised on family farms dedicated to sustainable and ethical principles, so you will never have any pesticides, herbicides, antibiotics, growth hormones, or GMOs. They ship anywhere in the country for only $9.50 for shipping and handling, and most orders are delivered within 24 to 48 hours of leaving their facilities. Go to uswellnessmeats.com today, and when you use promo code PODCAST, that's PODCAST, you'll receive 15% off store-wide savings. Again, go to uswellnessmeats.com, use that promo code PODCAST, and you'll get 15% off of every single order. Go check it out today. Now let's get back into it.
Were there a lot of positive tests when you guys training? And what I mean,
luckily, no. And if there were, then it was like we all got tested immediately, but we were all make sure it's like comes back negative.
Gotcha.
So like if somebody ended up testing positive, then we would have, you know, be like, yo, you're quarantined. It's like, who are you in contact with? So like we made sure that whoever we were training, the train partners that we have, we always kind of kept track of each other.
Right.
So it was like, so if they're like, okay, well, I rolled with this person, and let's say so-and-so came up positive. Okay, we're going to go get tested. We're not coming into the gym.
Right.
Like, you know, we'll do our quarantine, whatever we have to do until we test negative, and then we're good to go. So we were, like I said, we all held each other accountable, and we kept track of everything. You know, like I said, the temperature, we had somebody doing the swab test on us. Man, it was like, it's just nonstop, but it's what had to be done.
Right.
So, and then like when, as you know, fighters and our teammates, you know, you go back to regular families, it's like, we limit ourselves to who were we were around with and so on. So, yeah, look, we made it work, and here we are.
It's unbelievable, honestly. And so how many students do you have at your gym?
Right now we have, I think almost like 300.
Wow. That's at just your gym?
Yeah, just ours.
Wow.
And, you know, like, look, it took a bit of a hit because a lot of people, you know, like, look, it's like everybody's people lost their jobs and people, you know, COVID happened and it ruined a lot of things. Yeah. So, of course, you know, look, we lost a certain amount of students and our school took a hit. But you know what? You know, I'm grateful that, you know, like, even if these students that weren't able to continue, like, they're still around, they stay in communication, and the ones that stay through it, you know, I'm grateful for them because they stuck around, like they know.
Right.
So it's like everyone's supporting each other in a way, and seriously, it's like, you know, it's amazing because, you know, although the way I was talking about it with my instructor, his title is Shion. It's I never call him by his first name, but I'll call him by his first name today.
Okay.
He's Brian Godhopper. Sorry, Shan. But anywho, you know, it's like we're not like huge in the community, but we impact the community that we in. Like, right. So you know, like Tiger Showman's is like it's a big organization, yes. But each school is in a different section where they impact that community. So we have an impact in our community, and the fact that, you know, like our students are second family, mm-hmm. and the fact, and I said, I'm so thankful because it's like they're like, yo, we want to be able to train. It's like we're going through this hard time, and I guess, you know, like the students that weren't able to continue is like, it's like, I'm like, I just hope you guys are all okay.
Right.
And the students that stuck around, it's like, yo, we're here to help. It's like, we don't want the doors to be closed down. Right. So, you know, it's like I'm grateful for these people because this second family, they were like, yo, we're supporting you. We're here for you guys. Just like you've been here for us on the mat teaching, you know, if we needed something, you were there for us. So it's like everyone's helping each other out. So it's been really unreal. It's like, you also, you know, it COVID brought out like kind of the true colors in a lot of people, right, too. So. Right.
And I think also what's beautiful about what you're saying and is because from what I remember from our first episode, is that, you know, martial arts, I think, was in a lot of ways, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, a big outlet for yourself as well.
Mm-hmm.
And like what you're doing for the people in your community is really what, you know, was done for you. Mm-hmm. And especially in a really difficult time when people need an outlet, I think it was so beautiful to see, you know, because obviously I see all your stuff on social media and Lyman and all the other Team Tiger Showman guys really figure out a way to make it work. And, you know, you guys, it's really a testament to martial arts. You know, you take one on the chin and you keep going.
Yeah. And then, I mean, look at this. I mean, think how many gyms got shut down and like, and even like, bit, like just it's a small business. Like, there's, like, even as Tiger Showman's, you know, like, yeah, we're an organization, but, and we have multiple schools, but, you know, we're still a small business because we have one school in a community.
Right.
So, you know, the fact that all these students that we have stayed there and they were like, yo, we're with you even through the hardships, you know, like, I'm so grateful for them. And, you know, it kind of hurts my heart to see, you know, like other, the people that, you know, have also like their own gyms, like other martial arts, and they had to shut down because this was their livelihood.
Yeah.
So it's heartbreaking. See, even for fighters, like right now, think about this, like only like the UFC, Bellator, major promotions.
Barely Bellator.
Yeah. They were able to find a way and kind of keep going.
Right.
What about the regional circuit?
Yeah.
What about amateur fighters who have invested tremendous amount of time? So it sucks to see because it's like, then you see people like, you know what? I have to go pro. I have no other option. Right. And they'll like, I'll fly out to so-and-so location to fight. But it's like,
they
get
rushed into it.
They get rushed into it, and then their career ends up like failing because of it. But it makes people desperate. And I understand why, because like, look, you want to take the path of being a fighter and making it to that high level, but nothing's really really going. So it some of my teammates who are amateurs, they haven't fought in a while, and they're like, I want to be able to fight. I'm like, dude, just keep training. Use this time. Just keep training and freaking just get good. And, you know, we have a bunch of up-and-comers, like a bunch of, you know, future champions and stars who want to be in amateur MMA or even just become a pro. And it sucks to see that the path that they chose to follow just got halted because there's no promotions.
Right.
Like, the only one I think right now going is CFFC. And they're like, I think it's Virginia or Pennsylvania or something like that.
Yeah.
But how often can they hold those shows? And how much is like, it's hard because then.
Can't even pay them, really.
It's like, you can't really sell tickets. You can't have any audience. But I respect the fact that they're doing it to be able to have these fighters keep building their record and, you know, eventually get their call. So, you know, it's like, I just freaking like I just want people to do better. Like I was like I don't care, you know, whether you're from like a different school, whatever. It's like I would just want you to freaking do good because this thing hit everybody hard.
Right.
So, and like you just like it's like just like a time to just, you know, come together as a family. Like we're all under martial arts.
Right.
And we're all martial artists at the end of the day, and we all just want to be able to fight through this and just get things back to the way we wanted to, and then just keep on going. So I'm glad that so many people have come together as a community, as martial artists, and found a way, you know, and we found a way to keep our schools going, keep people training. So it's been a very interesting time.
For as a UFC fighter, what's it been like? I mean, do you remember from the inside what it was like when they returned? And because a lot of you guys rely on fighting as a source of income, you know, what was that? I mean, was there a conversation going on between, like, you know, the UFC or people at ESPN saying, yeah, we got you. Like, we'll be okay. We'll figure it out for you guys financially, because, you know, you guys don't fight. You guys don't get paid.
Yeah. You know what? The fact that Dana White did what he did and the UFC did what they did, and they're like, yo, we're going to keep this going. And, of course, you know, do you go through a period of trial and error, because they're like, okay, you know, when Florida was like, yo, we're going to have the event, they're like, yo, we're there. We're going to keep this going, because then imagine all these fighters who rely on this and they can't pay their bills, they can't do anything. It's heartbreaking, because like, what happens now? Now let's say they can't even, when they want to be able to fight, you know, some fighters pay for their camp or they're traveling to from one place to the other. It's like, they can't do that. So they gave people a chance and people took advantage and were like, all right, yo, we're here to fight. And, you know, they kept it going. Of course, they were like, yo, you have to go through like, God knows, like 20 or 30 COVID tests throughout the week to make sure that you're clean. But, you know, if that's what has to be done so you can fight and so you can, you know, make your living, then, you know, by all means, go for it. And they were able to now just smoothen it out where it's like, all right, they have their system down. They made it work. And here they are. They became the only sport to do this while everything else was just on lockdown.
And, I mean, it also, you know, begs the conversation that was brought up a lot really during COVID too about, I think, about fighter pay and the fact that the UFC is, I would even say it's not even really arguable, the fastest growing sport in the world, in my opinion. And you're not one to obviously badmouth anyone. But I'm just curious if it amongst fighters becomes slightly a little bit of source of frustration to think like, we're one of the biggest sports in the world. We're on ESPN. We're selling pay-per-views. And, like, we're out here, you know, stressed out about survival when other sports are shut down and these guys, you know, they're making millions at a time.
Yeah.
You know, does it – you know, I wonder what what is told to fighters about the reason why, you know, pay isn't, I think we can all universally agree, it's maybe not where it should be. And mm-hmm. I know you're not one to badmouth UFC, and I know they've been great to you, but like,
It's interesting because I also like, you know, think about this. You know, although it's the fastest growing sport in the world, I feel like the casuals, like in a way, if this pandemic didn't hit, it's like they wouldn't have blown up now the way they have. So it was a great opportunity for the UFC to blow up the way that they did, because there was no football, there was no, you know,
nothing,
no basketball. But then it's like, okay, in reality, this sport is still like a baby compared to like NFL and all that.
Right.
So it sucks because many people still view it as, oh, you know, it's too barbaric. Yeah. And then they don't understand.
Right.
But, you know, you're seeing it's like, okay, you know, you got an NFL player. He's getting paid millions of dollars. They haven't played a season. They're still making money no matter what. But, you know, and whereas fighters like, yo, you know, like, there's definitely going to be a way. But it's also, as fighters, we're kind of independent contractors. That's what they said, because it's like,
It just feels like this. It feels like, do you remember when Brandon Royval fought? You remember his interview?
Mm-hmm.
This one's struck a chord where Brandon Royval, for people who don't even watch UFC, was, I think he made his UFC debut over the summer. And I think he was crying in his post-fight interview because I think he worked, I forget what the job was, I don't want to butcher it, but he worked a separate job on the side as well. And he was crying about like how he just kind of wished he could finally, he was hoping to get a bonus because he could quit his job and focus full-time on UFC. And it just, that stuff kind of breaks your heart. And I think he ended up doing that, by the way. But I think it just, like, I don't think that fighters should have to work as a teacher, right? I think if you choose to, that's phenomenal. Yeah. And you guys are doing, I mean, you, Lyman, Shane, all you guys who have gyms, you know, you guys are doing amazing work, but I don't think you should have to. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I think that it's also detrimental to the sport when you have guys like a Brandon Royval, who's very talented, and because they aren't making enough from their sport that is literally being televised on ESPN, that they are forced to dedicate other time to something else, which is also taking away from their development. You know what I mean? So, are you optimistic about the route it's going in?
I think so. I think it's going to get better. And, you know, as the sport grows, it's tough because, like, I don't know what goes on behind the scenes. So, you know, I could be assuming one thing when they might be working towards something else. But, like, you know, we're going to have to see what happens. But I'm sure, like, pay is going to go up now that you have so many more eyes. And then eventually when it gets to the point where, like, look, in the past UFC, this past UFC that just happened, they had fans.
Yeah.
So then it gets people say, all right, fans are going to come back. Yeah. And people are going to want to be like, boom, coming back. Right. It's like, okay, you know, we can raise so-and-so's pay in a way. So, you know, I think it's going to go down a great route and it's going to get better as it goes. You know, as of now, it's kind of like you have to kind of work with what you've got.
Right.
Because, look, you know, I'll give you an example. Jeff Neal, who fought
Wonderboy.
He worked at a barbecue place in Texas.
Like still when?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Okay. But he was working at I don't know if it was Dallas Barbecue or some other barbecue spot. Yeah. And, you know, like weighing tables, and he's fighting the UFC.
It's crazy.
And it's crazy. And then all of a sudden, like, now he's probably, you know, at a point where he's like, yo, you know, I don't have to work here. It's like, I fought a main event and he did amazing, you know, even though he Wonderboy won. It's like, dude, it's like you're doing it.
Yeah.
So it's like people are working that separate job because also, you know, like as fighters, if you get hurt, it's like you need to find another source of income.
See, that it should. I think it shouldn't be like that. Like, you shouldn't be like, fuck, I have double elbow surgery and, well, COVID on top of that. And like, well, in the gym. So it was like a triple whammy. But like, I think that you should be able to have a double elbow surgery or anyone who gets injured, tears their ACL, and like, I mean, MMA can be brutal and not have to worry about it. Focus on your recovery. And I think that ultimately it will get to that point. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, as fight fans, I'm sure we're pushing for it. But
as fighters, we all wish it could happen faster. Yeah. We'll be like, please do it. Please do it tomorrow. Like when they go like, because I know like even like the whole Reebok deal apparently is coming to a close. Right. People are like, all right, whoever takes over is like, please give us like a little more bonus or something.
Isn't it like, was it?
I think it was like Venom.
It's Venom. Yeah. So how's that Reebok deal work? What does that mean? Because I always hear about this Reebok deal, but I'm never sure exactly how it works.
I think for the Reebok deal is if the more fights you have in the UFC, the more you get paid from Reebok.
Gotcha.
If you're a champion, you get paid like a good amount. But like if you're like your first fight, you get paid. You know, you get paid a little bit, but so you have to like, you know, really really fight to be able to get more.
But it's also, and it also, what people don't understand as well, and I think it was, I forget who made the good, I think it was actually Mike Perry, of all people, who made a good point, which is rare. He talked about just the taxes. You know, when you fight in California,
dude,
very different than when you fight in Nevada.
Oh my God.
And people don't talk about that enough, and even New York too, I would imagine.
Oh my God, and it was New York, they tax you like crazy. It's ridiculous. So... You know, that too. It's like as fighters, you know, whatever we make from the fight, you know, Uncle Sam's going to take a good amount at the end of the year. So it's like you can't just be like, oh, look, I won this fight money. I'm going to go do this.
Coaches. And I mean, you guys
have coaches. You got management. You know, you have the taxes you get at the end of the year, any other expenses that you might have. So it's like. You know, you have to really manage the money you make from the UFC. You can't just be like, oh, snap. Yeah. Especially, like, look, for first-time fighters in the UFC who make their debut.
They make
10 and 10. But look, for somebody who just making 10 and 10, they'll be like, oh, snap, I made 20,000. I'm going to go buy this, and that. And next you know, like, Uncle Sam at the end of the year is like, I'm here to collect. And you're like, oh, shit, I spent all the money.
I know.
So it's like, you know... It's good because when you have the you know, like, look, I have my team behind me. My coach is Tiger Schulman's, and you know my mentor. Sorry again, Brian. you know, he's like, look, whatever money you make from there, put it aside. Don't spend it. Save it all. You know, like invest it in something that's gonna be good. It's gonna be good for you. Like, you know, because like that's what happens. People get a big paycheck and they'll be excited that they have the money, and then they go on a spending spree, and then next you know they have nothing left.
Right.
So they're like, you know, put it aside, use it for this, use it for that. And so it's like, you know, you have to learn that the important business aspects, because you're not just fighting and oh, I'm gonna get a paycheck and that's it. It's like, no, what are you gonna do with that paycheck?
Right.
You know. How are you going to split it? What are you going to put it on? What, you know, make sure that you have enough to pay the tax at the end of the year and all that stuff. So it's like, you know, you have to do a little money management class there in order to learn some business, take some business classes and really learn, because you don't want to go through all this and put all these fights on and put your body through all this to then when you're done with your career, it's like, I got zero from it.
Yeah.
So now this is even like for amateur fighters who start going to the circuit and want to really make this a career. It's like, just be smart. Like your ticket money. Yeah. Whatever you make from it, dude, put that aside. Mm-hmm. All right. Even if in a regional circuit and you're getting paid this much, it's like, dude, put that shit aside, because as you start going to the big promotions, it's like, you have to really know how to manage your money.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I have great people behind me, you know, guiding me and helping me through this, because I'm like, all right, you know, it's like, you see that, you're like, whoa. It's like when you're a little kid and you get your first $20 bill and you're like, yes.
Yeah.
So.
It probably feels even different after a fight when you get, it's probably a good feeling, no?
Yeah.
You get that check after a fight, you just went to war.
They're like, here you go. And you're like, whoa. Yeah. Like, that's going to be my account next day. Yeah. You're like, yes.
How long does it take after the fight to hit your account?
Next day.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
And they give it to you after the fight?
Like after the fight, they'll be like, this is going to be in your account next day. If you get like a bonus, it takes a little bit longer. And then, like, you know, they'll send, like, Reebok will send whatever they give you, like, after they make sure that you pass, like, your USADA test and all that.
Oh.
Yeah, so you got to make sure you're also good.
Dude, how's the USADA during COVID?
You know what's funny? The moment COVID hit, actually, this was before my surgery. The day of my surgery, somebody showed up at my place and were like, dude, we're here testing. I'm like, dude, I told you guys I'm getting surgery. I'm like, I'm at HSS. I'm about to go in. It's like, can we go? It's like, you want me to come down? I'm like, no, man. It's like, I've already put that out that I'm getting surgery. Like, they're going to be putting all this stuff in my body. But they've been better, I think, now. The fact that they're kind of calming down and they're finding the middle ground, you know, so it hasn't been as bad. I got a USADA visit the other day, but he met me at the gym, and somebody who's been...
So they just show up, right?
Yeah, they just randomly show up. That's why you have to, like, your whereabouts and make sure all that's good. Because if not, it's like, they'll be like, all right, you know.
Yeah, you get, like, strikes, right?
You get strikes and stuff like that. So I'm like, all right, I'm just updating my whereabouts. Like, if you're traveling, be like, I'm going to be in this location here.
How many times a year do you think they test you?
For me, they tested me a good, like, 4 times. And probably since I was, like, the moment I had surgery, I had to make sure also, like, I had everything on paper. Like, this is what they put in my body. Because if they come to test me and they're like, yo, we found this, and that. I'm like, I got surgery that day. Like, that's what they put in my body. I have it here. Because they, like, before, they, like, if you pop for something, right away they're like, so-and-so is doing this. But now they're like, okay, you know, like, we're not just going to blast it out there. We're going to send you a notice. Like, if you had this in your body, it's like you get a chance to actually, like, redeem yourself. Right, like, bro, it was a tainted supplement. Or it's like, I was in surgery. They put this, and this in my body for, like, the pain and whatnot. So it's like you have a chance to actually have your case and, like, be heard about it rather than be like, so-and-so popped for this. And then it tarnishes your career.
Even if you're... It's crazy. Even if you're clean and it's just a...
Yeah.
People just always think that you...
Mm-hmm.
So, I want to talk about your next opponent.
Yeah.
Have you done... So, what I remember from him, I watched him against that Jones kid.
Yeah.
In his last fight. Weird fight. Because he was kind of cruising. Mm-hmm. And then got finished quick. What do you see in him? Timur Valiyev, for the people out there wondering. What do you see in him and in his game? How do you analyze that matchup?
I'm excited about that matchup. One, because I think it's like both of our first official fights at 35, because the last fight he had to fight at 140 was a catch weight.
Right.
Because I guess the other guy couldn't make the weight. And you have two. He's more of a striker. I mean, He's solid. He's solid in on the ground, on the feet. So, but he's more of a striker, mm-hmm. like a kicker. And I feel like this fight is just gonna be a scrap. And what's awesome about it is like it's a lot of 35ers on that card.
Yeah, I saw that.
Frankie Edgar and Sanhagen are fighting. This guy Marab and Cody Stamann are fighting.
Oh, that's on that card too.
Yeah, they got added to that card, and I think there's a couple of others. So. It's going to be very interesting. And, you know, he brings an interesting style there. And I can't wait to just come back and just get in there and just scrap, man.
Yeah. Do you ever – now, I always wonder this. Do fighters ever look at the betting odds?
I don't know how the betting works.
Okay.
But, like, you know, like, someone explained it to me a little bit, but like, –
Have you checked for yourself this time?
No, I don't really check for myself at all.
You want to know or no?
No, I'm probably an underdog, which I don't mind because I was out of layoff and you know, I haven't fought in a year. So
do you like feeling like you're an underdog?
Yeah, dude. I was like, I'll be the biggest underdog in any fight. I don't mind.
Now, how do you feel like February 6th is going to go down if you have an official prediction?
I have no official predictions, dude. I'm just excited to make the walk, and I'm looking to just have my hand raised in victory, like whether – we go to a submission, a decision, a knockout, a freaking. It's like, dude, I'm gonna scrap with this guy, and I cannot wait because, like, I have a fire just burning in me. The best way I can put it to you this way is like during this whole thing. Think about it this way. let's say you're like on a like a very snowy mountain, mm-hmm. and like there's like the wind, there's like a blizzard happening, and how I felt when I was going through the surgery, not being able to train, it's like I'm trying to use like my body to cover the little fire, to keep it alive, to keep me warm, like during that time, and to like not let it go out. And it was like very, very dismal at that point, because I'm like, shit, I got surgery. I feel like I'm falling behind. I can't train. I can't do this. And it starts to kind of get in your head a little bit. But even though you're going through the healing process to come out better on top of this, but like, that's what it felt like. It felt like the fire was like burning out, and I'm like trying to cover it to just keep it from being able, from going out. And then like it's like, dude, it's like get past this storm and your fire is gonna be relit. And that's exactly what happened, dude. Like the moment is like I was able to keep it from going out, and I'm like, yo, don't give up, man. It's freaking cold right now. The wind is blowing, there's snow all over the place, your fire's like getting smaller. It's like, nah, it's like we're gonna ignite this fire. It's like just hold on strong. And that's what it did, man. And I thank everyone who's on my team. You know, from Tiger Schulman's to Edge Pro PT, to all the people, you know, to Paradigm for Counter-Strike, you know, to my family, especially, you know, my sisters, my brother-in-law, John, all my friends, and my team as well, like my students, everybody who's just been in my corner, you know, like they've been a huge source of help, because it's like they're there with me through like the ups and downs. So it's like that family, just like they're just there. So if you fall, like they're freaking catch you, like, yo, we're not gonna let this fire go out. And I'm like, and that's why I'm like so like grateful for them. Like my teammates who just like they were checking up on me, like, dude, when are you coming back? We miss you, this and that. And I was like, it's like this is why I can't give up. It's like, like, you know, like these guys are, if these guys believe of what I can do, they know they're excited for, you know, this, they miss me. It's like, and I'm like, I can't let this fire go out like that. So that's what like reignited. And I'm always just thankful for them. Like, you know, these people in my life are just amazing. So thanks to all of you guys.
Hey. Beautiful. People can follow you on Instagram at Julio Arce 89, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Instagram, Twitter is, I think it's Julio Arce TSMMA.
Yeah.
And man, I'm just I could see the look in your eye. It's I'm excited, man. I'm excited to see you back in there. I'm happy. First of all, I'm happy that you came back. I'm it's always a pleasure, honor to have you on, and especially before a couple weeks before a fight, because I know you guys are fucking busy, mm-hmm. and I know you're training your ass off. So for you to take the time really means the world. But I'm so excited for you to see you in there, get your hand raised, and celebrate,
man.
After.
Thanks, man. I'm happy to be here, and you know, excited to see you too, man. It's been a while, and I'm just glad everything's now falling in place the way it has to be. And dude, let's get ready to rock and roll.
Let's 2021. Go. 2021. Here we go. Yeah. Julio Arce, everybody.